Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sports update.
The update from One Bills Drive with the Bills' third and final OTA of the week is over. They practice indoors today inside the Ed Pro Sports Training Center because of threatening weather. Session number three, they have seven more OTAs over the next couple of weeks. Bills are off until next Tuesday. Had a couple of new players on the field today, just acquired yesterday, tackled DeAndre Wesley, who was on Buffalo's practice squad in 2017. Back with the Bills, re-signed for this offseason late yesterday. Actually, they were awarded a roster claim after he was let go by the Indianapolis Colts just last week on Tuesday. The Bills also added a tight end free agent, tight end Mequan Dean, who played college football at Western Kentucky, signed on with Seattle as a undrafted rookie but was released last week. To make room yesterday, the Bills released offensive lineman Blake Hance and safety Abraham Wallace. So moves, and now the Bills off until next Tuesday. Kyle Rudolph and the Minnesota Vikings may be inching closer to a resolution of his contract situation. 2 days into OTAs, Rudolph confirmed a report that the Vikings have offered him a five-year extension. Dak Prescott says he continues to talk with the Dallas Cowboys about a contract extension. They've had a couple of good sessions, he thinks. He's entering the final season of his rookie contract, reportedly looking for a deal worth at least $30 million per season. Dak Prescott in Dallas. Hockey news, the Ottawa Senators named DJ Smith their new coach earlier today. He is the 14th head coach in the history of the Ottawa Senators. He's been an assistant with the Maple Leafs for the last four seasons. NBA playoffs tonight, Toronto on the road at Milwaukee. This is game five of the Eastern Conference Finals. Series tied at two wins apiece. They'll tip it off tonight at 8:30. Round one of the Senior PGA Championship is back underway at Oak Hill in Rochester. They had a rain delay earlier today. Ken Tanigawa in the first round leads it through 12 holes. He is four under par. He is one stroke ahead of Jeff Maggard and Darren Clark. And the Bisons game scheduled to start at 11 this morning. Just getting started right now. They also had a weather delay. The Herd head to Lehigh Valley for a four-game series starting tomorrow. Back home here in Buffalo next Tuesday. And that's the update. Welcome back to the show. John Murphy, Steve Tasker in our One Buffalo studio. Practice complete. Players scatter, right, Steve? They've got the long weekend, too. These players are gone. At Fieldhouse, we're just walking through it. It's like Death Valley right now. I don't blame them. No, seriously. I mean, those guys.
Don't blame them. You're one of them. As soon as we're done, you're going to be. You're at least
I'm an hour behind.
Marks,
can right? I leave now? I'd do that if I could. Welcome back to the show. A lot to talk about here. Which Bills position battle are you most intrigued with? Give us a call. We've got phones wide open, 803-0550 and toll free 1-888-550-2550. We got tweets on this issue, and we'll get back to that in a moment. We're going to do, you know, we did it yesterday, see, we had burning questions about the Bills going into this season, and we had a couple of leftovers. Some of them were so good yesterday, we want to get to those. I continue to.
Right.
You want to get to those, or you want to talk about the Jets? Let's get to the, go ahead.
Well, you pick. It doesn't matter. I'm prepared for either.
Well, we want to talk about the Jets, too, and Adam Gase met the media in New York today, and he actually took some interesting questions. We'll hear some of his news conference coming up. Let's do burning questions. Here's the deal. Yesterday, our Twitter poll topic was, what are the burning questions around the Buffalo Bills this offseason, headed into the 2019 season? We got really good response, a lot of calls, a lot of tweets, and we had a couple of leftovers that we never got to yesterday, so we want to talk about that. Burning questions around the Buffalo Bills. Most of these came from Twitter. Steve, why don't you start us off?
All right, from Vince. He says, the burning question I have is, for me, it would be how soon the offensive line gels to allow this team to have early success. Defense is solid. Question is, can Bobby Johnson, new offensive line coach, turn this O-line into an impenetrable unit to keep our weapons firing on all cylinders? That's one of the burning questions, and that remains one even today.
Can we talk about that for a
minute? Yeah, absolutely. Bobby Johnson is He's well respected around the league. He's been working in the league. He was with Oakland last year. He has also been. He was in Buffalo as well. He was in Indianapolis. He's got a huge job. You think of it. Everybody's new over there. I mean, nobody. There's nobody on this team who played with him or was with him when he was on this staff earlier. He's got 14 guys, is it? What's the running total of the offensive linemen? It's a ton of guys that he's got to sift through. He's got to find a way to bring them together, find out what they do best, find out the best five offensive linemen starting combination, and he has to do it with all new faces. It's huge job, and it's vastly important. Am I right?
Yeah. Yeah, and it gets – look, again, I'm not crying, you know, the sky is falling, but it gets harder when guys get hurt, and they're a third of the way through the OTAs without the guy who was going to be the starting center, right, and without the guy who was the starting center at the start of last year. So yeah, they've got some issues up front, and they're already, you know, as Chris Brown kind of detailed for us first hour of the show – moving guys around. Spencer Long plays center one day, plays guard the next day. Feliciano plays center one day, guard the next day. Ty Nsekhe running with the first teamers at right tackle. You've got to believe Cody Ford's going to have something to say about right tackle. The point is there are moving parts up there. And I think Vince, in his burning question, saying that how soon can the offensive line gel? First, they got to get settled who's playing where, and then the gelling can begin.
Yeah.
I think it's a good question, a legitimate question. And I don't think it got anywhere near being answered in these first 3 days of OTAs this week.
Yeah, not only do you have to – they have to gel, they're going to find out who they are. That's the real question. And then they go on from there and move on. And plus, they got to do that and then have time to have all that happen, start taking reps, you know, hundreds of reps together. And that, you know, that's got to happen before September 9th. And the clock's ticking.
Yep,
the clock is really ticking. So, and that's, you know, we're not going to know how this offensive line. I mean, it's been like I said earlier in the show, it's been priority one for about 8 months, and we're still there, and it's not going to change until September 10th when you get a chance to look at it and see how they did.
As Chris pointed out, and he's right about this too. They won't even be in pads for a while, right? So,
right.
That's where the work is done for offensive linemen.
That changes evaluation, right?
Yeah, that's where the work gets done. And it's going to be a while before we see him in pads. So I don't know when they're going to gel. How soon can he get him to gel? I don't know. Big job for him, as Steve said.
It is. Great. It's a great question, and thanks for Vince for tweeting that in. We also have another burning question from yesterday from D. Hart. How improved will Josh Allen be with a year under his belt, a better O-line and receivers, and working with a quarterback coach over the offseason? Yeah, and we've said this a couple of times too, and this is one of the burning questions always. It's kind of always about Josh, right? He had a very promising first year, and I've said it too, in the last five or six, seven games of this last season when he was a rookie, you couldn't take your eyes off that guy. I wanted to see what he was going to do every play. He was an absolute wrecking ball. He wasn't getting much help from the guys around him, as D. Hart just said in his alluded to in his burning question, with new offensive line that's better than the one who didn't help him, with new wide receiving core that should be better than the one that wasn't helping him enough, with another year under his belt in the same offense, knowing more, seeing more, understanding more, you got to think all of those things are going to pile up to make life just a lot better for Josh Allen.
I feel like yesterday was Josh Allen Day on our show, right?
Do you?
Yeah, well, Chris Sims talked about him at length, much he loved him. He sat down with him, and then, of course, Dan Orlovsky later on. They both had good things to say about Josh Allen. I thought Orlovsky's critique and his comment was especially interesting about Josh, and he had a play from the Bills-Lions game where he basically pointed out, look, this is a play where Josh doesn't really read before the snap how people are lined up and what's going to happen. It's almost, I think, that type of play is the key to Josh Allen's second year. D. Hart asked the question, how improved will he be? And the knee-jerk answer to many people is, well, I hope his accuracy is better. Well, I do too. But I really hope his decision-making and his ability to see and recognize what's across from him at the line of scrimmage gets better this year. We don't have the answer to that yet. And believe me, teams are going to throw different stuff at him now. There's a book, an 11, 12-game book on Josh Allen now that didn't exist last year. So teams are going to have a plan. They know he can run. They know he's athletic. They also know what his weaknesses are. And that will try – the team opponents will try to exploit that this year. But, yeah, I just thought there was really good critique. If you missed it yesterday, go back online. You can find it. Dan Orlovsky, 12 years in the league as a quarterback, had some really interesting things to say about what Josh Allen sees, how he reacts to what he sees. It was really important, I thought, when he said Josh Allen needs to have essentially a backup plan. If he doesn't get the read he expected to get, what do we do here? And he pointed out pretty, I thought, really detailed yesterday, pointed out how Josh went to the line of scrimmage last year without that backup plan a couple of times, and it cost him. The one play he kind of focused on Twitter, and you can see it for yourself on Orlovsky's Twitter site, turned into a sack when the Bills and Allen's sack took him right out of field goal range against the Lions. But that's what you're looking for, I think, from Josh Allen. Does he make better decisions? Does he recognize more what he sees? Not does he complete 58% of his passes compared to, 53% this past year? That's
right. And it is all about Josh to a certain extent, no question about it. And it will be interesting to see how he changes. But I think also the changed pieces around him are going to make him into a different quarterback as well. He has to evolve into that. For me, I've never, it's been well documented how I feel about Josh Allen. He's not an inaccurate quarterback. He needs to make better decisions. He needs to pick different receivers to throw to. And Dan Orlovsky in his time with us yesterday, and also Chris Sims, who was in studio with us yesterday, he said, listen, you want this guy to be more of a boring quarterback, to take easy completions, to have one of those offenses that just kind of stays on the field all the time. Then when you take a shot, you can take a shot. But just make first downs, grind. You don't even have to grind it. Just stay on the field. Be maddeningly boring by making the routine plays every single time those routine plays present themselves, and just be impossible to get off the field and be one of those guys that nothing spectacular needs to happen because it's always second and two. Right?
Yeah.
That's kind of what Chris Sims kind of said when he had him in yesterday. And I would love to see Josh Allen be less of a dynamic, oh my gosh, kind of play every day. Wow, look at this play he made this week and like the one he made last week. I'd like to see it. Wow. The guy made, he had 35 completions and 20 of them were for 2 yards or less and turned into average of seven-yard gains. That's kind of.
And he won again. That's
right. And he won again. Exactly. You look for him to be more boring, I guess, is a pretty good way to say it, just to make the routine plays, make them look easy.
Yep. So we're going over some of the burning questions that are still on fire from yesterday's show. And if you have a thought on that, give us a call, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Leftover burning questions. This one comes from Coach Peer. Will LeSean McCoy break 1,000 rushing yards? What will the split running back reps look like? Good question. Great burning question. Shady has been with the Bills now 4 years. He started out with 895 yards in his first year in 12 games. He went for 1,200, then 1,100 in the next 2 years and down to 500 yards rushing in 14 games last year. Will he break 1,000 rushing yards again? You know what? If I'm a betting man, I would say yes, he will. I think the improvement on the offensive line bodes well for him. And I think he knows, how far off his production dropped last year and is ready to bounce back from that. Now, your second part, that's my thought. I'm interested to hear what Steve thinks. The second part of your question, Coach Peer, what will the split at running back reps look like? Well, this plays into your first question because I don't know, but if Shady doesn't get a bunch of carries, he won't get 1,000 yards. I think they'd love to see Shady get a ton of carries and get up to 1,100, 1,200 yards again. Last year he had 161 carries, but he was averaging about 200 carries through his first 3 years with the Bills and averaged 300 carries a couple of years with the Eagles. That's too much to expect at this stage of his career, but what will the split look like, Steve? I don't know. We don't know. I don't have that answer.
Either. I do think he's a 1,200-yard back, though.
Yeah.
I do. I think he's still got that in him. And Frank Gore is also a guy who's got a lot left in the tank. He's a tough, nasty runner. And I think the addition of Devin Singletary gives them the ability to stay versatile, to throw a young guy out there in just about any situation because he's that kind of back. But I still think LeSean McCoy has it in him to be a bell cow for the offense to carry the running game. If the offensive line can move people around and can open up holes, which they weren't able to do last year to give him some room, I do think he's got a 1,200-yard season in him. And if that happens, of course, that dictates the reps and how the reps will be split between those running backs.
What is this is kind of a corollary of Coach Pierce's burning question. So what does it look like for Devin Singletary?
Spot duty.
Spot duty. What's that mean? Five or fewer carries per game? That
yes,
sort of thing?
I think so. Certainly to begin with. Now, if it happens that they start throwing him in there and giving him an opportunity now, and he starts to exploit it, and that's the way Daboll and offensive coordinators in the NFL do. If you've got a guy or a player of any at any point, at any place, at any spot on your roster, at any place in your lineup that starts really excelling in some things, you're going to go to him more until somebody takes him away. He's going to get more and more opportunities. And Devin Singletary, he's got to do a couple of things. One, make the roster, make himself valuable enough to be active on game day. And two, when he does get opportunities, whatever they are, is to excel in those opportunities. And if he does those two things, then he's got a chance to expand his role in his – and he'll get more than five spots a game. He'll get six or eight or ten chances. And then he's going to go, and then he'll have a game where all of a sudden somebody needs a week off, and there he goes. He's got 15 carries and emerges onto the consciousness. That's what it's going to take for him. But for the meantime, every step of the way through that progression, he's going to have to earn and excel along the way. That means in OTAs, then in training camp to get opportunities to make the roster. And then once he makes the roster, to do whatever they ask him to do, maybe if it's one or two or five times a game, and then to excel in those, then get 10 times a game, and then when something happens, he's the next guy in. That's the kind of progress it's going to be, in my opinion.
We're working through some of the burning questions left over from yesterday's show. If you have one, give us a call. On the line from San Antonio, Texas, Palm on the line. Go ahead. You're on the air with us.
Okay. I have a critique of Steve. The boring part, who wants the boring part? I would suggest let him loose. I think why can't we have an offense that is a deep down throwing team, and scoring every other play? Who wants boring? Nobody wants boring in the NFL. And this is a guy who may be able to do that. That would make him unique, would make him a really special player. The only criticism I have of him a little bit is he's always looking downfield. We don't want a Trent Edwards. Everybody forgets Trent Edwards. Check down Edwards. We want a guy who did what he did last year. I want an offense that is dynamic and lets him go.
I want to see him win. But, Tom, who do you have in mind? Is there a prototype quarterback you're thinking that scores every other play?
Unique. I think he could be totally unique. I mean, he has a skill set. He's totally different than we've seen in the NFL before. If he can complete, he doesn't even have to complete 60% of them. If he completes 50% of his downfield throws, that everybody's talking about the accuracy. Why would you care if he's completing downfield throws at 50%? That would be amazing in of itself.
Let me get Steven on this. Steve, what do you think?
It sounds great, Tom, but you complete probably 10% of your throws down the field, not 50. I mean, if you're going to complete 50% of your throws down the field, you throw it deep on first down, throw it deep on second down, one of those two is going to get caught, right? So you just keep doing it. And if you think listen, I've seen some pretty good offenses in this league played with a really good offense in this league. Nobody scores every other play. They've got the ball. And even if you do are a prolific offense, you still got to play defense as well. And when I said boring, I didn't mean boring to watch. I meant boring in that they're playing really well and playing winning football. And I hope things work out just like you say. But at the bottom, at the end of the day, you want to win. And I think they have a better chance of winning by having their offense on the field all the time, because the other team doesn't score when you've got the ball. So. That was my point when I said being boring, and I thought it was one way he could improve his game by not throwing deep so often, because it is a low percentage play, even though he's really good at it, and to take some easier completions on early downs or on third downs to stay on the field, and then you do get more chances to go down the field. So I get what you're saying, but I think you kind of overstated what I was saying. But thanks for the call.
One more call on, I think, the same kind of topic. Mitch in Pittsford, New York. Hello, Mitch. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. I just kind of wanted to build off what the last guy said. I think that's kind of a dangerous thing to say when you're trying to turn him into, you know, an Alex Smith type or what we had with Trent Edwards for 4 years. I mean, Alex Smith can win. But he was never the guy to get him over the hump, and that's part of the reason he lost his job. And the thing with Josh, he's got this skill set that, well, maybe, what, two or three quarterbacks in the league have, and I think you got to take advantage of that.
It's interesting, Stephen. I didn't interpret your statement as saying that, because I was here yesterday and listened to Chris Sims. He's the one who called it boring. I guess I didn't think of boring. But I think this is where I disagree with the last two callers, Mitch and Tom. There is an element to NFL quarterback play that includes checking down that was not prominently displayed by Josh Allen. I don't think you need to turn him into that exclusively. I think he's got tremendous capability to throw the ball downfield. But I think you need some of that. I really do.
You can't have three and outs. And they did that too much. Especially early in games sometimes. I know some of it was the other quarterbacks that played last year too. But you can't have three and outs.
When you're throwing deep
every other play, you're going to have a ton of three and outs. You can't get the ball, try three deep passes, and sit down. You know, and that you just can't do that. And they did that way too much last year. So that's what I'm talking about. When you get – you can try as many deep passes as you want as long as you keep getting first downs. You got to stay on the field so you have more opportunities for all those guys to help. Who cares – if your offensive line's going great, but they're only on the field for three plays at a time, they come off and let you punt. I mean, you've got to find a way to stay on the field. That's what I was talking about when I was talking about earlier about Josh Allen, you know, about being a little bit more boring.
Question.
Just stay on the field and give yourself a chance that when the defense does give you a look, take it down. Then you can gun it down the field. Yeah, he's never going to be Alex Smith. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah.
He'll never be Alex Smith.
Want to keep going? We're going to take a break. I've got some more burning questions here that I kind of like. You want to keep going with that when we come back?
Yes, we can do that.
There's some good ones. We're going to break. We're going to come back. More burning questions. You can respond to our Twitter poll, the position battle that intrigues you the most on the Buffalo Bills roster. Coming down the home stretch, so if you're going to call in, now's the time at 803-0550. And toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Here, we got a lot of balls in the air here. We got our Bills position battle question that's out there. Which Bills position battle are you most intrigued with? That was our Twitter poll. We'll check that in a moment and take a few calls on that if you'd like. We've got everybody's favorite, Yancey's Fancy, America's favorite.
New York's Artisan Cheese.
New York's Artisan
Cheese.
Get
it right. I got it.
Got that coming up.
I got that down.
And we're going back to burning questions because we like this segment. In fact, we're talking a little bit about show development here. Maybe burning questions would be a regular thing. Burning questions about the Bills. We did it yesterday. Got such a good response. We have leftover questions today. You may have something in your mind that you want to talk about. Lines open, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550. Back to the questions on fire, Steve. Go ahead,
please. All right, here we go from Joel. This is with, will Matt Milano bounce back to his pre-injury form? Will the D be good enough to steal a game or two if the offense is struggling? This is a really good question. Milano, I think, is and it sounds crazy whenever I say this, and I know what it sounds like, but it's really true. As a former player, I understand it. I've seen it more than once. Milano was really lucky in his injury because it – and this is where it sounds crazy – because it was broken bones, not ligaments, not tendons. Your bones tend to heal better. And I think he's going to come back in a big way. Certainly there's a chance that he's going to have some lingering pain and stuff like that. But, we've seen him for months now out here running around trying to rehab and getting rehab. And he's on the field And he was playing at a very high level when he got hurt this last season. There was a lot of people, and I had to go back and double check. There were a lot of people that thought this guy was really coming on and maybe get some postseason honors, maybe a Pro Bowl berth, maybe some votes for that, an alternate of the Pro Bowl at least. But Matt Milano is on his way back, and his injury should be one, and it's the type that, yeah, guys do come back and come back strong from those.
All reports are good through the first week of OTAs and through the off-season conditioning weeks they had, the 5 weeks prior to that. All reports are good on Milano. Sean McDermott said he participated fully this week in OTAs, so that sounds good.
Now, the second part of that question, will the defense be good enough to steal a game or two if the offense is struggling? Well, if the offense is struggling, well, yeah, maybe, maybe not. But I'll tell you what, this defense, I think, is going to continue to be very good. Very good. I think they're going to – I think they're going to take a step forward. I think Ed Oliver is going to fit right in. I think Milano's going to come back and play well. I think Tremaine Edmonds is going to take an enormous leap forward. Their secondary is very solid, and I think they got some depth on this team, defensively anyway. And so I think the one thing they didn't do last year was churn out the turnovers like they did 2 years ago. But I think that – I got to tell you, and it sounds crazy too, but – I think it was because of their offense, Murph. Their offense didn't push any offense to its limits last year. They never faced an offense that was in desperation mode, except maybe the Jet game when Matt Barkley was playing quarterback. Maybe the Vikings game, and the Vikings were asleep through most of that game. They really never turned it on enough offensively to do it, but they did get turnovers in that game. So right. I think the improved play of the Bills' offense could turn this defense maybe back into the turnover machine it was 2 years ago.
Yeah, turnovers are important. And one thing, and I think of our buddy Lorenzo, who's on the show, I think, tomorrow with you, right, Lorenzo Alexander?
You don't need to worry about that.
You're right. I don't. But Lorenzo said something a couple of weeks ago about we brought up this, can the defense be top five? And he pointed out the red zone defense. He said, we were awful last year. Red zone defense, giving up touchdowns, not forcing field goals. That helps you steal a game, yeah. I believe. Yeah. Bernie, questions from FN Spoon. Is Brian Daboll the answer at offensive coordinator now that some of the lack of talent has hopefully been eliminated? Well, they've had more talent on offense. Is Daboll the answer? Good question. Fair question. I believe he is, as a matter of fact. I mean, he's been around championship teams for years, college and pro. Daboll has, a great knack of working closely with Josh Allen. He has since Allen has been here. I know he's works hard. Yeah, I think Daboll is the answer. But, again, the answer will be wins and losses this year. But I'm pretty encouraged about Brian Daboll, what he tried to accomplish last year with very limited roster at receiver in particular and on the offensive line. And he's got more help, right? He's got a brand-new quarterbacks coach and a brand-new offensive line coach to work with.
I agree. I think, no question, it's going to be interesting to see what this offense looks like. But he's experienced. He's got a great pedigree as an offensive coordinator. He's out in front where most coordinators are these days, where they know that it's not about their system. It's not about the way they do things. It's about the players on the field and using them to the best of their abilities and also finding new and innovative ways to deploy those guys and be creative. He's got all of that going for him too. Now, you got to remember, last year he was pretty limited in what he could do. The offensive line didn't give his quarterback very much time. They didn't have a running game.
Quarterback shuffle the first 6 weeks, 7 weeks.
They had four different guys starting at quarterback. The offensive line couldn't get a running game, generate a running game. So he was limited in what he was able to do last year. And in some ways, you can say he was limited, but by the same token, within that limitations, you almost have to get ultra creative to try and manufacture something that will work.
Yep.
And they went through that phase too. So I think he's going to have a lot more fun this year enjoying his job, knowing that he's actually going to be able to hand it off and get positive yards instead of tackled in the backfield.
We've got to get that guy in the show. Message to our producer, James.
I don't know, Murph. I love the guy.
And then we got to get him to answer questions.
Right. That's good for you.
I love the guy.
I do, too. He's awesome. I love – but, man, oh, man, we couldn't – when we had him on, he wouldn't even tell us what his favorite restaurant was.
What's your favorite pizza?
I like a lot of places. we're just on to Cincinnati. You know? I'm like, what are you doing? I asked you. Like,
yeah.
That's
– Got to get
so,
him on the
show. We'd love to have him on, but – you know, we got to give him a few beers before we loosen him up before he comes in.
Got a call on the line wants to talk about Brian Daboll. Mark in Buffalo. Go ahead, Mark. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, I mean, everybody's focusing on Josh, as they should. And we all realize we have a quarterback that's very talented, can put the ball anywhere on the field. But to me, the most important part of this season is going to be Dable coaching that kid up and teaching him and getting him to understand that when he starts attacking the whole field, the short routes, the underneath routes, the flat, you know, the mid-range and then going deep, that he's as much setting up a defense to open up other routes as he is attacking a defense. And he's got to convince Josh and just beat it into his head that we love the fact that you're aggressive. We love the fact that you constantly want to go 15, 20 yards downfield and more. But we have to set the defense up for success.
Boy, Mark, that is a really good point, really well put. We were talking about Josh Allen and his second-year development just about 5 or 10 minutes ago, and we didn't get to that, but you are right. And by the way, it's not just Brian. It's Ken Dorsey, the new quarterbacks coach. But he's
and
right.
Matt Barkley.
Mark, and Mark is right, though. Mark in Buffalo on the line is right. The argument is, look, you can be so much more effective if you use the whole field and not just chuck it downfield. And I know Josh Allen knows that, and I think he made progress slightly last year on that, but – really, I think that's a good point.
And you've seen the trend in the league, too. Now teams' offenses are stretching the field. You know, you say you got to stretch it vertically. Now the idea is to stretch it horizontally, sideline to sideline, right at the line of scrimmage. You've seen all the whip screens, bubble screens, all the throws that where the quarterback just raises up and whips it to the sideline to a guy in open space with offensive players sprinting out to help him. And then having the whip screens or the whip end arounds where the quarterback's under center just turns around and hands it to a sprinting player right off the edge. So all of that stuff is in the mix, and it's part of the creative atmosphere in the league now and part of the trends where teams spread the field horizontally right at the line of scrimmage, and that holds those front seven and those corners right up near the line of scrimmage where then, you know, a slot guy or a back or somebody can pop through. And they're thin in the back end, and then that opens it up for the deep ball as well. So all of that stuff is on the table, and it's going to be really exciting to see if they can take advantage of it. But I'm with you. It is about Josh. I know Dayball's got a lot of different ways to use those tools, and we've got a quarterback that can throw it to every corner of the field.
Do me a favor. Say whip screen again.
Whip screen?
Whip screen? Yeah. Wheat thin. You ever see That's Family Guy?
Yes.
Did you say wheat thins?
Wheat
Did you say whip screen?
Oh, not another thing. I mean, another thing about whip Josh screen. Allen. It's not just about
no,
Brian.
I'm having fun with this.
All right. It's not just about Brian Dable in the room. It's also Ken Dorsey and Matt Barkley, and now maybe even Tyree Jackson. All of those guys are their focus and their job is to get Josh ready. It's, you know, they're doing their thing and they're trying to be ready. If Josh goes down or whatever, certainly Matt Barkley wants to be ready. But their job is to help Josh navigate mentally through pre-snap, post-snap, through film study, through thought processes and talking about plays and the discussions about plays and debating it, what he does well and why he doesn't do it well. All of that stuff gets put into the table and all these guys are focused on helping Josh execute it when he gets on the field. That's going to be an enormous difference than the atmosphere he went through preseason, training camp, up into the first and into week two when he actually started. So everything's different now, and I think there's going to be a vast, vast difference in the atmosphere in that room.
Hey, let's try to squeeze in a little hunk of cheese here at Yancey's Fancy New York's Artisan Cheese, NFL True or False. Here we go. This came from NFL.com. Marcus Grant, NFL.com writer. The Colts will win the Super Bowl in Frank Reich's second season. He writes, Indy is a very good team that's on the rise and could be in position to make a serious run at Lombardi this season. I'm going false. Love Frank, like the Colts. They play and benefit from playing in the NFL's perennial easiest division. They're playoff caliber, yep, but they're not a Super Bowl contender. No, false. Put your personal feelings for Coach Reich aside here, Steve.
I'm going to say false. That's too big. That's too big.
Yeah.
It's too big to sit here and say that's the team when you've got the world defending world champion, two-time Super Bowl participant in the last 2 years, New England Patriots in the same conference. So I'm going to say no.
Good.
Just because of the guys in New England. Not that I don't think Indy could very well be in the conference championship. Indy could very well be in the Super Bowl. But to say they're going to not only go to the Super Bowl, they're going to win it. I get why he's doing what I do. He's exaggerating to make a point. Yeah, Indy is a dark horse. Indy's a really good football team, and Frank is a really good coach. But to call them out in May to win the Super Bowl in February, yeah, I'm going to say false.
NFL True or False Part 2. This one comes from Bleacher Report. Adam Gase is the wrong coach for Sam Darnold. True. I think Adam Gase is the wrong coach for everybody in the NFL, to tell you the truth. But, yeah, the turmoil they have cannot benefit Sam Darnold. The quarterback whisperer, I think, is tremendously exaggerated. Who did he do that for, Peyton Manning? Peyton didn't need anybody to whisper in his ear. Yeah, that's true. Adam Gase is the wrong coach for Darnold and just about everybody else in the NFL.
I'd say Adam Gase is the wrong head coach.
Yeah.
That's what I say. Yeah, it doesn't say – yeah, I think he is the wrong head coach. I don't think that's the kind of coach. His demeanor and what happened with him and the guy I witnessed in Miami is not going to go well in New York. We've already started to see it kind of come apart in that organization, firing the GM. Now he's the GM and head coach, and they're searching for another GM. I don't know how long that will last. I think there's a lot of – there's a lot of drama up there and a lot of instability at the top of that organization. It doesn't take long for that to trickle down pretty fast. So I think Adam Gase has got a lot on his plate that he didn't bargain for when he took the job in New York. I don't know that this is going to resemble anything that happened to him in his first year in Miami, where he took over an okay team, got him to the playoffs, and then it went worse and worse for him over his tenure there in Miami. So, yeah, I agree. I'd say true. I don't think he's the right guy there, I think it's starting to show itself even now.
Finally, NFL true or false. From Touchdown Wire on USA Today, the NFL made the right decision to not change the overtime rule, the Chiefs rule. Every time everybody gets an opportunity to possess or gets a chance at the ball in overtime in the playoffs, the way they lost against New England, true, the NFL made the right decision. Play defense, Chiefs. How many times have I got to say this? Play defense.
Did you know the Chiefs led the league in sacks last year?
Yeah. Who said that? Somebody on
Chris Sims.
Sims, yeah.
The Chiefs led the league in sacks last year, and they stunk on defense. So, you know, play some defense.
Yeah.
I don't have any – yeah, you get to the playoffs, it's tough, it's a hard – you got to have a complete team to win. You don't deserve to go to and win the Super Bowl unless you can do everything and do it really well and win games a number of different ways. And the Chiefs – we're a one-dimensional football team last year, too much so to be a Super Bowl participant, and it showed itself at their worst possible time. So, yeah, I'm saying it's true. The league didn't need to change the overtime rules.
Right.
I like the way – they're fine the way they are.
NFL True and False presented by Yancey's Fancy New York's Artisan Cheese.
I had some doubt, yeah.
Back in a moment, One Bills Live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio. What we learned is brought to you by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater, the preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. Good show today. Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com. Talked about the tight end spot for the Bills, a couple of injuries there. Talked about what he's seen so far in the OTAs and the spring workouts from second-year tight end Jason Kroon.
I really liked what I was seeing from Jason Kroon before, you know, he left practice early. He looked dynamic in the passing game on Tuesday and was doing really well with his route running. There was a clear chemistry with Josh Allen. He was looking for him. He was making plays for him. So I was encouraged by what I saw from Kroon, and it's really been a nice transformation, development, whatever you want to call it, for a guy who's relatively young at the position, being a converted wide receiver in college to tight end. He's really, as we've said on this show many times, taking the bull by the horns when it comes to the blocking game. I think he's better there. And we saw him flash last year.
Yes, we did. We'll see if Jason Kroon, once he returns to spring workouts, what he looks like. Also, what did we learn today? We had Mike Pereira on the show, former NFL vice president of officiating, now the Fox Sports TV NFL officiating expert. We talked to him about the move. They're talking about changing the rule again on replay review on pass interference and allowing the coaches challenge in the final 2 minutes. Pereira says that really would not have helped much in the big controversial call last year in the NFC Championship game.
This doesn't necessarily take away what happened in New Orleans, you know, and that was supposed to be the whole intent of this, is to take away that huge, obvious mistake. And if the Saints were out of timeouts, you know, and out of challenges, nothing could be done.
Right.
And, you know, that's why we hit this 2 minute thing when we first put replay in. we said, okay, we'll have the review process taken over by the replay official inside of 2 minutes of either half, because we didn't want the obvious mistake to happen and the coach not to have a timeout. And so this is going to take away that, which is a concern to me.
There you go, Mike Pereira. A good segment with him today. Today here at One Bills Drive, OTA number 3, the Bills' third session of 10. They're off until next Tuesday. 3 OTAs coming up next week. You got a good show in the works for tomorrow. I won't be here. You'll have Joe Biscaglia as a co-host, and you'll have our man Lorenzo Alexander with a OTA lowdown tomorrow. That'll be good.
We're going to have a great show tomorrow. A great show.
Good luck. The lowdown tomorrow.
The lowdown. He'll come in. Yeah, Lorenzo will give us some insight. And I wonder what – I'm going to ask him what he thinks about all the injuries that have happened and how it's going to affect things, what they think – the players think about it in the locker room. Because that – man, there's nothing – it stinks. It stinks when that happens. You're sitting there in the play. You want to take part, and you're standing over there with a wrap on your thigh.
It's only me. Production assistance from George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Honiter, Kelly Rude, J.J. Torito, Kevin Cargis, James Roble, our producer, Jay Harris. Steve will be here tomorrow, 12 noon until 3, One Bills Live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.